Visiting today with the legendary John Rosa, who is here from the Boone County Landfill, Boone County Recycling. Thank you for making a comeback.
Good to be here.
And
see you again, Goat.
Not the ongoing how much rain can we get into the landfill. And I will say, though, you do have an abundance of leachate from that.
Yeah, it's that's a good steady flow. But that's not a good thing necessarily.
Not necessarily.
It means more hauling and more expense for us to properly manage it and handle it.
There is that part. But so yes. That is really one of the big things that's happened. Most recently, the supervisors agreeing to go ahead with this particular project. I know you guys have had some dollars set aside for this. And we've talked about it in the past for listeners. Remember, we're talking about long term. We're talking very well after the landfill is closed, which take 20 years, might take 50 years. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well. But we do know that this leachate, I mean, part of the requirement is you got to handle it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, and you're right. It's been a long time in the making. It seems like it's it goes back. Our engineers recall talking to Scott Smith about it.
I remember, Scott. One of the things he was.
That goes back. I mean, Scott left in 2014, I believe, if I recall correctly. A decade plus ago that we discussed. And finally, and I would certainly appreciate the support from the supervisors to move forward with the project, because it was something that, you know, we go to other landfills and we see how they manage it. And, do you have a force main? Yeah. Or, do you have a line to town? Yeah. Yeah, we go direct. Oh, okay. Yep. Kind of envious, I guess. And it's not the only way, and it's not doing it because that's what everyone is doing. We're not, jumping off the cliff because everybody else is doing it. But, it'll be financially a good move. It's expensive.
Well, initially expensive, right, but now, in the long run, seems to me you're going to get your money's worth.
Yeah. Right? When you look at not having to hire staff to get in a truck, drive the truck, load the leachate up into the truck, into a vacuum 3,000-gallon vac truck to haul it up to the water treatment plant to dump it and then repeat. And look at the expense with that. Instead, we were able to send it via pumps directly into the sewer lines to get to the water treatment plant. There's expense with pumps, a little bit here and there, but electricity, but still significantly cheaper immediately. We'll be enjoying the benefits of that. And then the ability to manage the inflow of it when as you alluded to, with all the rain, suddenly our lagoon starts filling up quick and you get a little nervous, and we haul and try to catch up, and hauling 3,000 gallons at a time, a little over three, making four or five runs if we can to the water treatment plant in a day, we're only getting rid of 18,000 gallons when you look at what's feeding into that into the lagoon. You're losing that battle, so we'd be able to pump a little faster during those times and pump down the volume that's currently stored in the lagoon. So just being able to more effectively manage it, and then financially it'll be worth it, as you properly say to do this, be beyond the landfill life. And it was one of those things, as I talked to the supervisors too, but it's like, we could do this, we could wait longer, but it's kind of like going back to my sanitation days when I did that job. It was like, people always waited to do a new septic system in their house when they get ready to sell it. It's like, hey, yeah, spend $10,000 to put in a new septic system to then not even use it just so you can sell it off to somebody else. Kind of the same thing here. Let's use it now. If we can put it in now, we can start using it immediately for the rest of the landfill life and beyond, because we still have to manage that for the next 20 to 30 years beyond when we take garbage. Once we stop taking garbage, we're done. We still have to manage the leachate coming off the landfill. So, it's a long term, it's a long term project, and we'll be able to enjoy it for many, many, many years.
And
it's exciting.
It does give you some alternatives too, because I think we touched on this a little bit before too. Should it be an opportunity? I mean, there could be an opportunity that you could put it back on the surface let it go through again.
Yeah, and that's one of the design options we'll be talking to the engineering firm about. once we pump it up to the top and we send it, before we send it down the road, can we run a diversion back up to the top into the landfill itself and recirculate the leachate back into the system? Which, is that good? Is it bad? You can have all kinds of discussions. There's goods and pros and cons with both of those. Could create more wet spots, soft spots that would, shift whatever. But ultimately, recirculating it, it does provide a little bit of oxygen back into the landfill, which that's always been the thing, is if you bury your waste and you cap it, you don't let air or water into it, it's never going to go away. It's not going to break down. And maybe this would be a way to introduce some oxygen. I'm not going to say that's the cure. It's not going to go away.
It may or may not be a benefit. Well, the one thing is, if you're getting a higher volume because of the rains, wet July, as a matter of fact, you could just keep it going back through there and through there again and again and again.
Yeah.
Leachate, by the way, is really nasty, people.
You don't
want to be standing around it very long.
Yeah, just imagine taking your own garbage can and dumping some water down on the top of it and then catching it as it comes out. That's leachate. It's trash water.
It percolates through.
Yes.
It does. And as long as it's going through, again, like you said, then you are getting water. You're getting oxygen back into it. Otherwise, it does not.
There's nothing.
There are portions of that landfill you can dig in and find stuff, newspapers and everything. Let's not do that. In the meantime, though.
Yeah.
Moving ahead with this, and again, this is just an initial agreement. We're going to have a design. WHKS, actually.
Yep.
They specialize in these kinds of things. And they will be doing the design, and they'll be helping with through all the bids and everything else on that. So at least at this point, that's going on. Not going to happen overnight.
No.
But
it's in the works.
Probably, in the works.
I keep talking to staff about it. It's like another step. We got through another step today. We signed the agreement. Okay, and the next step is, now they have to get on site and start developing the final design. And, then there'll be another step. And then there'll be continue making steps. And we're getting there. And that's good. So now just, keep fingers crossed that the design goes through, the bidding comes through at a hopefully reasonable price, but it's going to be expensive. Yeah. But you still got to keep it within reason. And as long as it's doing that and we get approval, we can continue moving forward. And, we're not done, but, keep going through steps and we're keep our head down and keep working at it. So that's
I don't know. Between you and the wastewater plant, do you guys exchange material back and forth?
And that's kind of like recirculate what you're saying about the leachate on site. We're recirculating it. We kind of recirculate with the water treatment plant because we take our leachate down there, they purify, and then they're bringing their sludge back to us. And we repeat. They bring stuff to us. We take stuff to them. Good working relationship, I guess.
So far.
Want to keep it that way.
So far, we're doing. Let's talk about, the other one. I know that you had talked to the supervisors about the construction demolition coming back. And, of course, when C&D came back, the board said, let's have the price go up. You were like 1.5 times, I think, when it came out of Ames and Story County. So now it's double what Boone's rate is.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Now you got people going, well, this came from Boone.
Experienced a little bit
didn't.
Of that.
So, but these are, this is not uncommon. We've seen this over the years. People come bringing material in all the time and saying, oh, no, this is my home demolition or something like that.
And there would be, we're unique in where we are and how we function at the Boone County Landfill because of being part of the Central Iowa Solid Waste Management Association, meaning we are tied to Ames and Story County for their waste as a secondary side, but as a per capita, all of our local residents, our primary service area, pay a per capita fee. With that becomes the per capita rate. The non-per capita rate being Story County, and that's double, 1.5 for regular household garbage and double for C&D because of the volume it eats up and being a non-per capita service area. So we're unique with that, where we have a per capita service area, we have a non-per capita service area, a secondary service area where other landfills don't have to contend with that as much. They probably contend more with people coming from out of the area and that they're not supposed to accept at all. So then the misinformation about from someone that may choose to push that envelope, if you will, and say, give false information.
It may be intentional. It may not. I'm not going to say. For those, when they talk about the per capita, for residents in Boone, I know residents in Boone, you see it on your water bill. It's got, there's a landfill fee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's how Boone does it. I know the county does it differently. Ogden and Madrid, not sure how they handle it either. So, but again, that per capita is a nominal fee that was set decades ago.
Yep. Probably again, due to be updated as well.
Well,
but that can be another discussion.
Yeah, another discussion at another time. Especially if you start getting into crunching and try, you know, because at some point, I'm sorry, but if whether you're there or not, somebody is going to be taking a look at a transfer station.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's going to happen.
We're going to have to manage it at some point differently. You know, and every landfill would, whether it's, you know, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 150 years. When I visit other landfills and some of them talk about the property they own nearby and it's hundreds of acres and, wow, they're set up for a lot of years. That's wonderful. And, you know, we're not, and which is one of the problems that we're facing. But at some point, you know, we're going to have to continue to manage it. We can't just be like, all done, and off we go. You know, I think there's still that responsibility that we would have to manage the waste coming from our per capita service area. So, yeah, if we're unable to expand and grow the property, if we're unable to have another landfill somewhere in the county, which is probably highly unlikely, then we're looking at a transfer station, a place where people can bring their stuff, and we smash it and shove it into a semi, kind of like what we do with recycling, and send it somewhere else.
I'm going to say, same thing Ames and Story County went through.
Yep.
Back in, what was it? It was late 90s, wasn't it?
I think. When they closed up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think it was.
So, again, they couldn't expand anymore, and DNR was not going to let them expand anymore. So.
Yeah. And then there's been discussions, just in my relatively short time as administrator, I've heard a couple times of people inquiring about a landfill to go into Story County. And since we're part of the Central Iowa Solid Waste Management Association, I have to administer that, I guess, if you will, and oversee it. And so they have to get my permission if they would ever allow another landfill in Story County. Yes, that would be wonderful. But that's usually about as far as it goes. Someone might start talking about it and then developing a business plan and can we do it? And then the permission and getting all the people on board is the challenge that goes along with it, which is probably why we are not going to have a different landfill here in Boone County either. We're probably going to extend of our life as much as we can currently in our property and maximize the space as much as we can. And after that, it's probably a transfer station. That's where it's going. I don't have a different answer at this
time. Once again, probably not in the near term, but it's going to be a ways down here. At least at this point, we know Carroll County's got space.
Yep.
So right now, Ames and Story County are working on that. So.
Yeah. Longer way to go. At least there's some place for it to go. It has to go somewhere. That's always the disclaimer. So what else are we going to do with it? Well, it has to go somewhere.
People will come back and say, well, doesn't Ames burn their garbage? Well, you know, that was in the day. That seemed like a logical thing to do, but plastics and everything else are not good for your system. They just did not play well together.
Yeah. And they're at 50 some years.
And basically, they've pretty much gone through the life of that facility.
Yeah, they certainly have. They're talking about a new power plant, too, of sorts. So a lot of changes going on over there, and a lot of it was about not doing that anymore, and then what, and then it was just send it all to Boone, and which is why we're like, we weren't made for this initially, and it's coming back to haunt us. You know, we've used up our airspace really fast, made money off that area. Frankly, we need space.
Okay. So most people wonder, on this Force Main project, the landfill has resources to cover the cost of this? Is that how it's going to be done?
Yep.
Is that basically it?
Yep.
Okay.
That's it.
I was just wondering where your equipment funds go.
Well, you know, our equipment, we'll be updating. That's a never-ending process, but how long can we go before we need to get the next piece of equipment and how much that costs? But, we're in a good spot right now.
I'm guessing the prices are not going down.
No. Things generally haven't been getting cheaper. No. So we'll be able to afford the project with funds made from tipping fees and over the years. years and the saving of the money that we've been doing. So
just try. And there, you do have required funds that you have to keep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the DNR says you will have closure, post-closure.
Yeah. And that's not to be used. So we're not using those funds that we've been set aside for closure and post-closure time. So that's set aside, no touch funds. And
All right. Well, let's talk recycling here.
Okay, good.
Because, hey, we've got a few minutes, and I want to know, we're into summer, you know, kind of winding down, getting into the fall, and do we have any litter things coming up, anything that's going on? I know you've got some people that have taken some of the ditches, county ditches, on the Keep Boone County Beautiful part, so...
Yep, there's still the adoption stuff going on, doing their cleanups, and we encourage that twice a year. That's the expectation when you do adopt a section of a road, to get out twice a year. Maybe not the best time right now with heat and such and height of grass, and we encourage people to say after the snow melt is a good time. And then
after the flood.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know.
After all the heavy rains, what's going to wash through? So.
So, yeah, that cleanup time, there's always this amount of waste that seems to come in. I know, like, with Ames and Story County, they do the rampage.
Rampage.
So all the move-outs, not all of it, but a lot of stuff that previously from college students in particular moving out of their dorms or their apartments, going on somewhere else, they often just throw their stuff away. Mm-hmm. And so the rampage was to collect as much as they can.
Make it available to new students coming in.
Yeah, new students, anybody actually, to sell it off. But, targeting especially, those new students that would be coming in, and maybe that's what we should have done because we're going to be contributing to that new student coming into the ISU community later on today, actually. But taking that stuff and then turn around and try to sell it. And they've diverted, many, many tons from our landfill. So that stuff would have been targeted to come to the Boone County landfill coming out of Ames. And so instead they took the opportunity to say, let's collect it, try to sell it, and, get as much life as we can out of it, which is...
That's good.
That is fantastic. I don't see anything wrong with that in the process. Eventually, maybe it will come to our landfill. Everything will eventually.
Sooner or later, makes it to the landfill, doesn't it?
Everything. Literally. Eventually, stuff breaks down to where it can't be used. And it's going to go to a landfill somewhere. But let's prolong it. Let's, slow that process down as much as possible to provide as much life as we can to our precious airspace at the landfill. So they sell those things, and then they work with volunteer organizations, and they are able to recoup funds and make some money on the process. So it's just a wonderful event. Again, I don't see much wrong in that process, except for the amount of stuff that comes in and then the stuff that doesn't get sold, like a massive garage sale, if you will.
Sure.
There's going to be leftovers, and then all that stuff comes. But they did divert, quite a few tons away from our landfill. And not talking about pounds, talking about tons. Literally, of stuff that would have been coming in. So, those types of things, clean out time, school starting, you see, I was over in Ames yesterday, and wow, the number of people that are going through the stores and the amount of stuff being purchased. And I can't help it, but I see that, and I think also, now, how much stuff is that going to be used, and then how much waste is going to become?
It just thinks into this garbage recycling thing.
I have to ruin it, I know. But when you see the effects day after day after day, that you know it's coming, and you can't help but view garbage differently or view material goods differently anymore when you get involved in this, and that's the hard sell sometimes. Is I'll warn you, if you want to get into the waste business and you care about the environment, it's a double-edged sword, if you will. That you're like, wow, this is not good. But a disposable society is certainly impactful.
Well, on the recycling, the business type recycling, because once schools get back open again, I think Bill's got a few more stops that he'll add with his truck. But it's been going pretty well, kind of smooth things out over the summer. I know, from the amount that we get, we do it once a month now.
Yep.
Come by and pick it up because we got our roll-off and put it out there, and once a month comes by. But I know the big thing in the beginning was, let's get that cardboard and try to at least avoid an expense.
Yep. Yeah, tried to minimize the expense as much as we can. Get the cardboard. Let's collect that. Let's try to sell that off separately, not fill up our trailer as fast. And we appreciate your collaboration, your help with this to say, like, yeah, we can store our paper longer and, you know, once a month instead of weekly or biweekly.
Yeah,
either way, about half or at least less trips that we're stopping here. And, you know, that's just more fuel, more time when we are making those stops for small amounts. So we just try to be like, let's make it worth our time. And we try to get people to understand that it's like, you're not paying for this, but and we want to help, but you got to put a little effort into it as well and meet us partway to say, yeah, we care enough to make the effort, and because then we care enough to take on the expense side of it and do the right thing with it. So
with schools, you do have some teachers really do it as part of an environmental science thing.
Yeah,
the kids get involved with recycling all that paper and stuff. And
yeah. And that's a great learning opportunity. Let's teach them young so they just develop those habits. And sooner the better.
Keep doing that.
You bet.
Still available to go out and do programs, things like that?
Yep, absolutely. And we'd love to have tours come out. You know, give that
not
to
in July.
No, not in July. Let's wait till it's a little bit cooler anyway and maybe drier right now. But yeah, we do that. Whatever we can do to help educate schools, civic organizations, communities, churches, church groups, anybody that will give us time to list to have us come in and talk and
hear the story.
Yeah, hear the spiel about what to do with your stuff.
Yeah,
which included would be the household hazardous waste. And I'd take a second to hit upon our next Saturday collection event. Would be looks like September 6th is our first Saturday of the month collection. So that'll be at the landfill. The one in October on the 4th would be down at Madrid. St. Malachy's Church. Yeah. And then we hit November with one last one on the 1st, and then we'll shut her down for the Saturdays after that. But that's one where you don't need to make an appointment. Bring out your oil-based paint, cleaners, chemicals, fertilizers, stuff you're just not going to use anymore, and you're unsure whether it's harmful to the environment and what to properly do with it. Give us a call, 515-433-0591. We can help you out with that.
Once again, plan for September 6th. That'll be the next
September. Yeah. Hitting Labor Day soon, Jim.
I know. And again, you guys. You're going to be open Saturday the 30th, and then close Sunday and Monday.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And we're not first. Well, not that far away from yard waste again, are we? Never mind.
Yay.
Well, I know you guys did facilitate some storm damage stuff this year, too.
Yeah.
Again, we've had a few of those storms. So.
Yep.
Got to get branches and things taken care of. All right. John Rosa, Landfill Administrator, Recycling Coordinator, our guest on our program today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.